from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support from listeners like you. And from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, opening in January 2011.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out about the Indiana Handicraft Exchange.
I'll take a walk with the Indianapolis Garden Club.
And I'll get a preview of summer events at Eagle Creek Park. Plus, there's our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. The Indiana Handicraft Exchange is a group that celebrates modern handmade goods through fairs, festivals, and the web. Their next event is the annual Indiana Handicraft Exchange Summer Show at the Harrison Center for the Arts in conjunction with the Independent Music and Art Festival on Saturday, June 12th. Travis DiNicola spoke with the founder, Amanda Maurer Taflinger, and with Neil Taflinger about the exchange.
Amanda, Neil, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you guys here.
Thanks.
Nice to be on instead of listening.
Well, that's right. It's like a first-time guest, long-time listener.
Yeah.
So Indiana Handicraft Exchange, and that is spelled Indy, I-N-D-I-E, Anna. It's been going on for, what, a year and a half, 2 years now or something?
Actually,
longer?
Since 2007. We started it in 2007, and the first one we held at the Irving Theater in Irvington, which is our neighborhood, and after the first year, we realized that we were going to outgrow it because of interest. So the second year in 2008, we held a single event in 2008 as well, and we switched to the Harrison Center for the Arts. And now we're up to two big events each year. And then last year, we did two mini events as well. So it's exploded since 2007.
You know, I was trying to sort of describe to someone what it is. And basically, I mean, you're sort of an organization that, you know, connects with other events or puts on events that sort of celebrates handmade items. I mean, that's...
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, this is actually something that you have an interest that, from what I was reading on your website, goes back to what some things you saw in Chicago from before? Or?
Yeah, I lived in Chicago. I moved around a lot after I graduated. I grew up here in Indianapolis on the east side. I went to Warren Central High School. And after I graduated, I moved around for about 10 years, and about four of those were in Chicago right before I moved back to Indy. And while I was there, I started going to the Renegade Craft Fair every year, every summer. They have, well, it's in the
just
fall
those
now.
Two words together strike me as a little bit
Renegade
funny.
Craft, yeah. Exactly. It's there's a trend of craft fairs that have popped up across the nation in recent years. I think the trend started around 2003, 2004, mm-hmm. and Renegade was kind of the impetus for the whole movement. They're called indie craft fairs, independent, small, kind of. Renegade is exactly what they are. I mean, they're young, contemporary crafters. Most of the crafters are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and they make a very different kind of craft than most people are used to seeing. It's not your typical church craft bazaar. People aren't making reindeers out of clothespin. They're making...
I'm thinking like macrame plant
right.
hangers or something.
You know, you might see something like that, but it might have a skull on it, or it might have...
It's like a punk rock take on
yeah,
crafting.
I mean, it's kind okay. of... It's emerged from the DIY ethic and the punk rock movement and... just subversive art, some tattoo art. Mm-hmm. You'll see a huge mishmash of things. There are all sorts of things. It just runs the gamut from toys, baby clothes, screen printed clothing.
So people, you know, still like hanging out at, you know, like the Michaels or Hobby Lobby and picking stuff up, but just making sort of more edgy stuff with it.
Right. A lot of people will learn a tradition from their grandparents or their parent and then kind of turn it around and make a more contemporary.
A lot of times we're seeing people who are traditionally trained or schooled, educated artists, people who will go to a Heron, they'll go to, you know, Art Institute, but what they find is they can't make a living making 2D art and selling in galleries.
Sure.
But they can apply their skills to a piece of functional art that maybe sells for $25 instead of $2,500, and if they make 100 of them, mm-hmm. the same thing.
Yeah. Very fun stuff. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this year's event. I know you've done other events, and especially I think tying it with the Harrison's Independent Music and Arts Festival makes an enormous amount of sense.
Oh, yeah.
This year's going to be bigger than ever, right? I mean, you've got something like 100 different vendors plus all the bands that day. And
this is the first time we'll have over 100 vendors, and the Harrison Center is taking care of the music outdoors, so they'll have I think 12 to 15 different bands playing on two different stages outside,
mm-hmm.
and then all of the vendors outside will now be the Handicraft Exchange's vendors, as well as three rooms inside will be in gallery number two, the gymnasium, and downstairs in the underground. And we'll have well over 100 booths with something I think close to 130 actual vendors, because several vendors are sharing booth space.
Okay, cool. Tell me about some of the other artists who are the vendors that are going to be there.
One of my longtime favorites is a girl named Abby Christine. She actually lived in Indiana for quite some time. She lived in Indianapolis, and her grandmother actually grew up in Irvington. So she has connections here, and I think that's how she first got interested. But she currently lives in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and she makes what she calls little felt wonders, and her biggest seller are contemporary pop culture finger puppets. So she makes these little finger puppets of John and Yoko, or Harold and Maude.
Mm-hmm. Characters from The Wire.
The Royal Tenenbaums. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Just, she has a great one of Pee Wee Herman. I mean, she has Johnny Cash, you know, the famous giving the finger picture. they're just fantastic. They're amazing. They're funny. We've got a lot of vendors that do really interesting jewelry work with silver and stone.
Mm-hmm.
We have a beautiful vendor, Allison Ford. She's from here in Indianapolis. She does amazing woodwork. Her company is called Studio AMF, and she is based at the Harrison Center. She has a studio there that she
okay.
shares with another artist. And her wooden jewelry is very sculptural, a lot of very large, elaborate rings, but they're just absolutely gorgeous.
And then, you know, it spans the gamut. So we've also got Jerry Lee's Western Wear, you know, a local tailor who spends, you know, an enormous amount of time crafting Western wear, you know, tailor-made for people, and he makes some pieces,
vintage
bags.
Inspired.
Yeah, vintage-inspired Western wear.
And there are several tailors, old tailors, who I can't think of their names now, but he bases his work off of their work, very classic work that's very well-known.
You know, when I first heard the name, you know, Exchange, I mean, my thought was that it was sort of like a swap meet or a flea market or something like that. You know, are people like trading stuff as well? Is that part of it?
You know, all the vendors do have their goods for sale, but some vendors are open to trade. You know, a lot of the vendors, I see them talking and working amongst themselves. So, you know, they'll see a vendor they haven't seen yet. You know, somebody may come through from Nashville and do our show, or somebody from New York, or even from as far out as Portland, Oregon. And so local vendors will get to see work that they've never seen before. And so a lot of trading does go on, a lot of exchange. Vendors are always open to, I mean, I can't say always, but a lot mm-hmm. of vendors are open to working out deals with customers for certain things. You know, if they know somebody who, maybe has handyman services that they can offer. I mean, there's always options for trading.
I imagine even just, like, sharing techniques, too.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of information shared and a lot of...
That was one of the things that we wanted to do when we first organized the Handicraft Exchange. We wanted to not only provide a space for Indianapolis's artists to... have a venue to be recognized en masse, so everyone could see, like, oh, there are 40 people in the city doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we also wanted to bring in people from around the country to highlight the best of what's happening elsewhere, to raise the bar locally. So not only we're promoting everyone here, but we're saying, hey, this person's doing something great too. You know, let's up the ante for everyone,
sure.
so that we can send our vendors out on the national circuit and they can wow people in every other city.
I would think there's got to be a sense of when you're looking at some of this stuff, like, oh, it just looks like it'd be so fun to do yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you two have succumbed to that. What are you making right now?
Well, I just finished a job as an
art
teacher.
You're smiley like I am.
Well, the first thing I thought of was babies.
Yeah, we've got a baby on the way, so
we're making babies.
That's
about
all.
You're doing really well with that.
Yeah. But I just ended a job as an art teacher with Perry Township, and I was teaching elementary art school. So I hadn't done a lot of my own thing for a while. But we've got a craft group that gets together here in Indianapolis called the Indie Craft Mafia, and we get together and we work on. People will share techniques, and we'll work on different things. And one of the big things that we've done lately was needle felting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge hit. All the girls really involved doing that, enjoyed doing that. And I particularly like it because it's a very cathartic activity. It's basically a tool that holds 6 needles at once, and you stab over and over and over again at the felt to mold it into whatever shape you're trying to make. So it's a very cathartic release of an activity, and I really quite enjoy that. But mostly I'm a photographer by trade. I went to school for several years as a photojournalist and
mm-hmm.
just never really took it as a career path, but I still do quite a bit of photography on my own.
Do you guys have, you mentioned, I mean, you called yourself the, you know, the Needlepoint Mafia?
IndieCraft Mafia.
IndieCraft Mafia, excuse me. Do you guys ever rumble with the more traditional crafters in town?
No, we don't. We don't do that, but we do a lot of collaboration, actually.
I mean, yeah, but seriously, I mean, is there, I mean, you know, when you, you know, run into other people who are doing, you know, the same type of, you know, craft work and stuff, you know, is there a sense of, like, what are they doing? And because, you know, maybe the subject matter is different, or because you guys are just younger and having fun with it. I mean,
there's a lot of, it's very amicable. I mean, everybody is very interested in what other people are doing, and yeah. More often than not, people want to get involved, even mm-hmm. if it's somebody who's much older. We've had some 80-year-olds involved. I mean, most of the time it's younger, like I said, in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, but we've had an 80-year-old woman involved, a couple other people, and we've had some teenagers join us as well. So, I mean, it's people are just interested, I think, in seeing people make and create things. They don't particularly care what kind of the theme of it is. They can take the technique that they learn and apply it where they want to apply it.
I think a lot of older or maybe more traditional crafters are simply excited to see people making things using mm-hmm. traditional methods. You know, there's a great documentary we screened about a month ago called Handmade Nation, and one of the women there makes is it cross stitch patterns?
Yeah.
And she was terrified of the response from the cross stitch community because she was doing French knots, and like her technique was a little bit different, and the subject matter was like a little bit lurid or pulpy or pop art, and the response she got was across the board positive because people were just happy to see young people taking it up. So, you know, our grandparents come out and get a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. And we're finding out in a lot of ways that it's, we're part of a larger community of people who are maybe figuring out that the way our grandparents lived was better in a lot of ways than what we've got today. You know, whether it's growing food or playing traditional music or mm-hmm. learning how to make things by hand, there's a growing number of people who are taking old things and making them new, or I guess making them relevant in the 21st century.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the summer exchange again on June 12th, noon to 8, as in conjunction with the Independent Music and Art Festival that is going on over at the Harrison. That's going to be a big day because you've also got Talbot Street Art Fair that day. So definitely, like, you know, park once and plan on walking and checking everything out because there's going to be a ton of great stuff going on that day. I want to ask you guys before we go, though, something else you've got going on. Congratulations to you. You're a semifinalist in the Pepsi Refresh contest, or how's that work?
Winners.
We actually won.
You actually won?
Yeah, okay. What Pepsi is doing, they're doing a project. It's called the Refresh Everything Grant, and every month for a full year, they're giving away $1.3 million, and anybody can do it. It can be through an organization. It can be a nonprofit. It can be a for-profit business. But you go on their website and you propose some sort of project that you feel will refresh a community or a neighborhood. And there's a lot of different subject matters. There's art and culture, food, shelter, and there are different denominations. We won a $5,000 grant and to help us get the store open. Our store is going to be called Homespun. Mm-hmm. We're planning on opening on July 10th. That's right now our tentative grand opening date. And it's going to be a store that basically sells the types of merchandise that we would sell at the Handicraft Exchange, except for it will be accessible to everyone year-round. So we'll take vendors' work on consignment, and we will do the promotion and the advertising and the photography for their work, and we'll sell it there at the store. And then we'll also have a classroom space available where we mm-hmm. will teach, like I was saying earlier, the needle felting. We'll teach felting classes, possibly screen printing classes, knitting classes. And then we'll also want to do some small business-type classes where mm-hmm. we can take people who are doing maybe a crafty business as a hobby, but they'd like to take it to the next level and become a little bit more professional, where they could then apply for craft fairs like ours or go out on the national indie craft circuit and apply for different shows like Renegade Craft Fair in Chicago and Brooklyn and L.A. and Austin,
Do you have a location
Texas.
Yet for Homespun?
We do. It's at 5624 East Washington Street. It's in the heart of Irvington between two fabulous restaurants, right between Legend and Giacomo's. So I know where I'll be eating lunch every day. We'll be right there. And it's a really good location. We love Irvington. That's our neighborhood. So we definitely, when we decided we were going to do this, that's where we wanted to put it.
So, again, looking to open July 10th?
Saturday, July 10th. That'll be our grand opening for the public.
Great, great. Well, congratulations on that as well.
Thanks.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And all good stuff going on. Can't wait again for June 12th for the Summer Exchange. Neil, Amanda, thank you both so much for coming in to Art of the Matter today.
No problem. Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with Indiana Handicraft Exchange founder Amanda Maurer-Tafflinger and Neil Tafflinger. The next event is the annual Indiana Handicraft Exchange Summer Show at the Harrison Center for the Arts. It's in conjunction with the Independent Music and Art Festival on Saturday, June 12th from noon to 8. The day will include over 100 vendors selling their modern handmade goods and live music thanks to Sun King Brewery. It's all free. For more information, visit IndianaHandicraftExchange.com, and that's spelled, are you ready? This is tricky. Indiana, I-N-D-I-E-A-N-A. So Indy, like short for independent, IndianaHandicraftExchange.com. And if you're one of the first people there, remember the event starts at noon. If you're among the first there, you can get a swag bag. Woohoo! Swag is good. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
The Indianapolis Garden Club organizes its annual garden walk not only to showcase some of our city's finest gardens, but also to raise money that is returned to the community in the form of grants that beautify public sites around town. Sharon Gamble invited Garden Walk co-chair Betsy Bosway to put down her trowel for a few minutes to tell us about this year's event, which is coming up on Wednesday, June 9th.
All right, so I'm guessing you must be a gardener or you wouldn't be on this committee.
I am. I enjoy gardening, and it was a thrill to be asked to be co-chair this year and get a chance to go around and see lots of gardens around the city.
Now, I know that there are so many great gardens in a city of this size. How do you start? Does everybody on the committee or do the co-chairs sit down and say, well, I've always thought this should be on the tour, and then you draw up a big list and you gradually narrow it down?
Somewhat. A lot of it is word of mouth. People have visited a garden and might say, you really need to go check this out. It's a member's garden, although this year it is, that's not the case. But other times someone will say, you know, I saw a garden where they were doing a lot of work, and then we'll find ourselves taking a lot of walks on that street and peering around. And then usually someone knows someone who knows someone, and we just call and ask if we can come over and see.
Now, what are some of the things, full disclosure here, my own garden is on a tour this summer, not the tour we're talking about right now, but the Historic Meridian Park tour. And I know a lot of gardeners, and we're all proud of our gardens, but we all have visions of where we want our garden to be ultimately as well. So I'm guessing in some cases you've had to kind of cajole people.
Our garden owners this year have just been delightful to work with, and we've given them reassurances that everything is going to be great, and their yards really look stunning, and that part of it has gone well.
That's good.
And we're very pleased, and we also tell them that the funds from this garden walk go back to the community, and so I think that's something that they appreciate too, that it's not just a fluffy day of walking around looking at gardens. You actually are helping us help civic gardens around the city.
And the proceeds help a number of projects, and we talked before we turned the microphones on about a couple of them. One of them that thousands of people drive by every day is the garden at Central Library, right?
Yes, we helped with the installation of that garden and the little cafe garden. We also helped with the Marilyn and Eugene Glick Cultural Trail, which wraps around the city. We've done a couple of gardens at Holiday Park, and our newest venture is we've helped with the restoration of the Jens Jensen Garden over at Marion University off of Cold Spring Road.
Speaking of Jens Jensen, there is a garden on the tour that the owners of the home discovered original plans that he had done. Tell that story.
This homeowner was doing a massive restoration in the home, and as they were digging through closets and attic and that sort of thing, they found the original plans to this home. And it was a Jens Jensen garden, and the plans were drawn up in 1922. And for the listeners who aren't familiar, Jens Jensen was a master gardener from Chicago. He did quite a few of the public parks that we drive by when we go visit Chicago. And he also did some gardens here in Indiana. And as I mentioned before, the Allison Mansion at Marion University, that was originally private property, and he designed that garden. But back to the garden we're going to feature at our walk, this homeowner found those plans, and with the help of a wonderful landscape architect and lots of man hours, they removed dozens and dozens of trees in this property. And through the process, they even excavated down to finding original stonework from when the garden was put in place in, back in the 20s.
What a treasure to stumble across those. Now, all of our listeners with older homes are going to start digging around in their basements and attics looking to see if there's an equal treasure somewhere.
I know. It's fascinating that, and in a way, because this property was neglected, these stones were well preserved because they were under a cushy layer of leaves and
sure.
plant materials that were keeping them safe until this lovely owner found them.
I love that. In a very different vein, you have a kind of a mid-century modern home or a 1950s home.
We do. It's reminiscent of a California type home. It's a sprawling home, and there's some absolutely fantastic plant materials there. There's lots of green against green, which I think is really intriguing. The chartreuse green of a hosta against a different green of a fern, and then leading past some other lovely landscaping materials, but lots of green on green.
Tone
and
on tone.
Exactly.
Different textures.
And
yeah.
the difference of the texture of the fern versus the hosta. And it's a absolutely beautiful garden. It winds around. There's a path through the woods towards the back of the property. Beautiful, beautiful swimming pool area. And then a raised garden bed to all the way back to the other side, and lovely, lovely plant materials back there as well, vegetables as well as flowers.
Hmm. And, you know, that's a really important point. Sometimes people think garden and they only think flowers, but there's a lot to do with texture and structure and size and shape, as well as practical components like a vegetable garden.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
You have a home garden that is kind of a woodland garden on the tour as well.
We do. That is another garden that was a big restoration for the homeowner. They found this property. It overlooks White River, and they were really intrigued by it, but it had an 8-foot hurricane fence around it with a big padlock. And so, and just completely overrun with trees and scrubby bushes and things. And she decided she could see the diamond in the rough. They bought the house, removed 75 trees.
Wow.
And over the last 5 years, they have painstakingly restored it, and it's just absolutely charming. And as I said, at the rear of the property, you can stand out and see that vista going out over White River. It's beautiful.
Do a lot of the garden owners have on display before and after photos?
No, I'm afraid not.
They don't want to remember the before.
I
can relate.
they don't. Although on the first garden that we talked about, the Jens Jensen garden, we will be able to make copies of those original plans and have those on a poster so that you can see it as you enter the property.
You have a home or a garden that is surrounding a kind of a retreat house. What's that one like?
That's a beautiful property. It has quite a lovely wide vista that looks down towards a creek. And this homeowner has taken a considerable time to take care of the property. But down at the creek bed, they've done quite a bit of restoration down there, planted hostas. They have a statue garden down there. And then I've also worked on shoring up the sides of the creek as well as the hillside for erosion purposes. And in the process, it's just absolutely lovely. It's a splendid property.
Do you have a favorite portion of any of these gardens that you've, or maybe a couple that you've looked at and you've said, ooh, I could adapt that to my own property?
I think each one, there's either a place that you think that you can adapt or there's a place that you think, I never want to forget what this looks like. Our fifth garden has some beautiful roses, and there's a couple areas in the home where the roses are trailing up over brick walls and sides of the home, and then you turn and look the other way, and there's a beautiful pond with, you know, a water feature, and it's just stunning, absolutely stunning. And but I think also you can see smaller things that, as you said, you'd think, I would have never put those two things together, and that looks terrific, and you know, it's things that you can take with you. Also, at each garden, we have a sheet that we pass out. A lot of times it's two or three pages long, and that sheet has the plant materials with the common as well as the Latin names.
Oh, cool.
Yes, so that...
that you don't have to take notes as you walk along.
Or you can use that as your note and you know, circle things that you like. And it also helps that way you can go home and get on the internet or go to your favorite garden center and see if you can find some of these materials. So a few of them are exotic, but a lot of them are things that are really very readily available. There is also a luncheon available at Woodstock on the day of the tour, and that is something, the ticket for that would need to be purchased in advance along with your garden walk ticket. But that's a fun way. It's not too far off of the path of the gardens, and we usually have a few hundred people at the luncheon.
Wow.
It's a buffet, so you're able to walk in and
meet other garden enthusiasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And get something to eat, relax for a minute, and go. And our garden walk is, also I should mention, it is going on rain or shine on Wednesday, June 9th. So we're hoping that the weather gods are going to be kind to us.
Sharon Gamble with Garden Walk co-chair Betsy Bosway. The Indianapolis Garden Club's 15th annual Garden Walk takes place on Wednesday, June 9th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The optional luncheon is at 11:30 at the Woodstock Club. Tickets are available at Charles Meyer and Company and at Kogan Antiques in Zionsville. And information is available at igcgardenwalk.com. Again, that's IGC for Indianapolis Garden Club, igcgardenwalk.com. Hey, Sharon.
Yes, Travis.
Guess where I got to go for a tour last week?
You went to the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts up
in
Carmel.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, you know what? It's really interesting. I mean, I was actually blown away by the artistry and the craftsmanship of the people who are working on it. With the Indiana limestone on the outside, the hand-done stucco on the inside. I mean, there's people there that are, you know, like third-generation stucco craftsmen who are working on this to make the sound the best possible. You know, I mean, different people have said different things about, you know, is it an appropriate building for that space and so on. But you know what? It's a gorgeous building unto itself. They'll make the space work. I think most importantly, though, they are putting so much effort and energy into making sure that the acoustics of this building are really unparalleled. I was very impressed.
That's what it's all about when it's about the music and
it's
the spoken
about the
word.
Sound.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know, I mean, in all full disclosure, they are a sponsor of our show, and we're very glad for that. But in fact, there's a great way though that everyone can check out the Palladium, which I'm going to tell you about on that calendar we call.
What do we do? I'll bet I know what it is. I think I have the same item.
Do
go
you?
Ahead.
Well, you know,
gentlemen first.
Yes. Well, thank you, Sharon. you know, the Palladium is actually having a on Sunday, June 6th. They are having a press conference, but it's also open to the public. They're going to provide an opportunity for people to take a look at the Palladium and hear remarks by their executive director, Stephen Libman, as well as artistic director, Michael Feinstein. Mayor Brainerd will be there. It starts at 2 p.m., and it will be taking place at the Palladium on June 6th. But also, and it is just a neat building, but also something that's also very cool is, the Civic Theater is moving up there, and they are going to be doing an event with Indianapolis's own opera star, Angela Brown, who's going to be doing a special performance on Thursday, June 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Michael Feinstein is going to be in attendance for that. And the event's titled Getting to Know You, and it's going to be held in Carmel next to basically where the Civic's going to be moving up there. They're going to be setting up a big tent because everything's still under construction.
Right.
And you can certainly get more information about attending this and hearing Angela Brown sing, and it's a big fundraiser and all that sort of stuff. And you can check the civictheater.org for more information about that. But great ways to check out the Palladium. Again, it is still under construction. It won't be finished until the end of the summer, and into the fall. But great, interesting building.
Absolutely. Lots of reasons to go check it out, and you can have memories for when the grand opening happens.
There you go.
I saw it under construction. All right, are you ready for the grandmother of all segues here?
I am ready.
Speaking of limestone,
okay.
I have an arts event that deals with limestone.
Tell me about
it. It has nothing really to do with acoustics, except maybe it sort of does. Did you know, every month is a sponsor of something? You know, believe it or not, September is National Rice Month.
Of course.
I mean, who knew?
Yeah.
June is Limestone Heritage Month in Indiana.
Excellent.
Who knew?
Hmm.
And, it's something that we drive by all the time, this beautiful natural material that's used on some of the most stunning buildings in our state. That's right. And we export it a lot, too. But it's actually one of the most influential components in our culture and history and the economy, especially of southern Indiana. And Monroe and Lawrence County communities have designated June as Limestone Month. And there are activities and events and educational seminars and exhibits and so on and so forth dealing with limestone through the whole month. One of the larger events is the Indiana Limestone Symposium, June 6th through the 27th. It's the 14th year they've done this. It's a series of workshops on carving and working with limestone. There are also open houses, which allow visitors to watch carvers in action. And as you can imagine, this draws artists from around the country and even beyond. Also, the Wonder Lab Museum in Bloomington is going to highlight the science of limestone. So if your kids are out of school or soon to be out of school and you still want to sneak a little education into them, check out the Wonder Lab Museum in Bloomington. Happy almost Limestone Heritage
Month. Limestone
Month.
We'll be celebrating limestone all month long here on the Art of the Matter.
That's right.
It's a very heavy subject.
You did not just say that, but I'm bummed.
Okay, so now there is something else going on besides limestone this weekend.
What?
Yes, there is.
I'm shocked.
There is that race.
There's that oval thing over on the west side. What's going on?
Well, we hope everyone's having a great time out there. But as you're looking for other things to do this weekend, up at Beef and Boards, the Wright Brothers, which is a great, great fun band, they perform, pretty much it's a tradition now, that they perform each May on race day. And this year is no exception. So they will be performing at Indianapolis' Northwest Side Dinner Theater on May 30th at 8 p.m. And they're going to be promoting their new album, The Wright Brothers, live from French Lick. So lots of great more Indiana connections going on this weekend as well, of course.
That sounds wonderful. For a different kind of music, you can check out on Tuesday, June 8th, 1986 gold medalist from the International Violin Competition, Kyoko Takazawa. Talk about somebody winning the gold at the Indianapolis and going on to a stellar career. This, if you look that up on Google, you will find a picture of Kyoko Takazawa. She's in concert with pianist Akira Uguchi at the Indiana History Center in the Basile Theater. See, everything's connected in our world. And on the program will be works of Mendelssohn, Brahms, Poulenc, Vianovsky, and the Grand Tango by Astor Piazzolla. Talk about a nice sensual start to summer. You can find out more about all of that at violin.org. And again, Kyoko Takazawa and Akira Uguchi, Tuesday, June 8th, 7:30.
For me, one of the sure signs that summer is kicking off is when the Woodruff Place Flea Market takes place.
You used to live there, and I'll bet you still get up early to be among the first to shop.
Love going over there for the flea market. It's taking place on June 5th and 6th, so Saturday and Sunday, from 8 to 5 on Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday. Though I will say people show up even earlier, and it takes place throughout all of Woodruff Place, which is located just south of 10th Street and north of Michigan, just a little bit east of where Arsenal is, so just about a mile or so east of college in the Cottage Home neighborhood. Woodruff Place, always a great, fun, gorgeous neighborhood, and the flea market's a ton of fun. There's also some good, fun fair food and interesting bargains and deals and craftsmanship.
And plants. A lot of people divide their perennials and sell them for very
good
affordable
point.
Prices at this sale. So
check
there
it out.
You go. Check it out. But be respectful. Don't go knocking on people's doors too early.
Yeah. They say hate. They try to go for it.
That's right. Hey, the Indiana Humanities Council is hosting a send-off party for Indiana Poet Laureate Norbert Kropp on Friday, June 4th. This is part of a First Friday celebration, and he is ending his 2-year term as IPL, Indiana Poet Laureate. The party
He was our first poet laureate, right?
He was our second poet laureate.
But this is a pretty exciting
thing. It's a very exciting thing. And this reception takes place from 5 to 7 on Friday, June 4th at the Old Northside headquarters at the historic Meredith Nicholson House. If you don't know who Meredith Nicholson was, you missed something of Indiana history back in school. Go look it up. That's at 1500 North Delaware Street. There you can catch a serving of poetry and jazz because Norbert likes to combine those two arts. As well as complimentary food and wine. So you can do that and then pop across the street to the Harrison Center and see what's going on there. Again, the send-off party to say thank you to Norbert Kropp for 2 great years as Indiana Poet Laureate on Friday, June 4th.
Sharon, that is all we have time for on our calendar. We're going to have to race out of here. See, I knew you wanted to make the race card.
I wanted to make a race card.
But we'll be back next week with more great things to do on
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Summer's here and it's time to get outside. And what better place so close to home than Eagle Creek Park? A kids' fishing derby kicks off the summer, which includes summer camps, frog watches, bird walks, a celebration of nature art exhibit, images of nature art exhibit, and, well, as they say on radio, much, much more. Travis DiNicola spoke with Eagle Creek Park Foundation President Michelle Cloud.
Michelle, welcome to Art of the Matter. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've got a big summer coming up at Eagle Creek Park, starting with a fishing derby and lots of other things going on this summer we're going to talk about. But for the few people out there who maybe have never been or aren't quite familiar with what Eagle Creek Park is, give us a summary of that.
I'd be happy to. Eagle Creek Park is probably the 10th largest municipal park in the country. It is not a state park, as some people think. It's actually larger than all but two of the state parks, 5,200 acres of reservoir and hardwood forest. It has 4 basic habitats, water, forest, meadows, and wetlands. It sees almost 80% of the birds that are seen in Indiana fly through the park at one time or another.
Wow!
And are seen there.
Mm-hmm.
And thus we have a recent new addition as the Bird Center, study of birds. And it has all sorts of activities, recreational activities. You can go there and picnic. You can cross-country ski in the winter. You can sail. You can kayak. You can fish. You can hike. You can run. You can bike. And a whole bunch of other things.
Oh, yeah.
Just an unimaginable number of things.
Snowshoeing. I mean, you can do
it
all.
Oh, yes. Anything you can do in the snow. So, yeah.
Well, it's absolutely just a delightful park, a great gem in our city. And it's interesting. Everyone you know, sort of assumes like, oh, it must be a state park, but being a municipal park, it's pretty unique to have a park that size.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's up in the northwest part of Indianapolis, so if you're out on the west side and up in the north side, entrance on 56th Street and one on 71st Street. So it's easy to get into, and lots of just really peaceful, beautiful places to visit.
And the Parks Foundation, which you're the president of, is essentially it's a not-for-profit entity that provides additional assistance for programming and other sort of special things at the park?
Absolutely. Indianapolis parks are partially funded by your taxpayer dollars. However, we have one of the lowest tax support rates in the country in terms of city-based support. The Eagle Creek Park was designed or destined to be self-supporting. That's why there is an entrance fee, whereas in all of the other parks in Indianapolis, there is not an entrance fee. That entrance fee covers about 85% to 90% of the cost of maintaining and running the park, but it's not enough to provide the additional enhancements and the programs and things that we all enjoy in our parks. Eagle Creek Park has funded the Earth Discovery Center. We recently funded the new Bird Center. We've funded projects large and small in the park over the many years that we've been active. We've raised over $2.7 million over the years that have gone into park projects. So we're a vital and interested party to supporting that park. We care very much about it. It's such a unique place, an island of nature in the center of an urban setting, so it's very precious.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There's some great ways this summer for people to enjoy the park, perhaps be introduced to it. One of the ones I'm really excited about is the Fishing Derby, which is coming up soon. I believe this is the ninth year you've done this. This is just a great activity to get kids interested in fishing. As someone who is an angler himself, in fact, caught a 16-inch, 2-pound bass last weekend, which was a lot of fun. But but this is an activity for kids 4 to 14.
Correct.
And and you ask that if they've got their own equipment to bring it, right?
Right. But we've got some. If you don't have your own equipment, we can loan you some poles. We've got about 150 fishing poles. We have all the bait you need. We'll provide all the help you need in learning how to fish. Entrance to the park is free if you register online at eaglecreekpark.org or go to the park office and register there. So you don't have to pay to get into the park.
Great. Okay.
It's a tremendous opportunity for youngsters who have not really been out in the natural world, let alone fishing, to learn about that. The event takes place at the Cofferdam, which is at the north end of the park. And the Cofferdam surrounds the bird sanctuary, so they're just, in addition to fish, there are all kinds of neat things to see, birds and all sorts of things. It is the ninth year. But originally, it was sponsored by Walmart and nationally, and they have stopped sponsoring the Kids Fishing Derby, and so the Eagle Creek Park Foundation has continued to sponsor it with the assistance of local Walmarts, and great thanks to them because they've been huge, huge sponsors every year. And we're really looking forward to another great year out there. Hopefully it doesn't rain. If it does rain on June 5th, we're going to go try again on June 6th. So, you don't need a fishing license, as I mentioned.
Yeah, that's right. So for the kids who are doing it that morning, they don't actually have to have a fishing license. Nope. So it's a great way, especially, you know, for kids, again, 4 to 14, who, you know, maybe never fished before because you're actually providing instruction if they want it.
Right.
And,
that's correct.
So what type of fish are out there you think
well,
they might be
catching? Well, there are, besides walleye, Eagle Creek Reservoir offers anglers good fishing opportunities for crappie, largemouth bass, bluegill, and catfish.
Yeah.
It is a catch and release, so you don't get to take them home because they need to stay there and support the environment or the ecosystem.
And that's an important thing to teach the kids, too, about catch and release as well.
And one of the things we're adding to the event this year is a little bit of education on how to be responsible fishermen. Fishing line is left and discarded and stuck on branches and all sorts of things all the time. I mean, if you go out there, you see it lying around. And it's very dangerous for wildlife. Birds in particular get caught up in it, and they end up dying as a consequence of being wrapped up in the fishing line. So we're encouraging kids in learning to fish to learn to fish responsibly and take care of their fishing equipment.
Very good.
To help protect the wildlife.
Very good. Now, as we said, kids do need to register ahead of time. They can do so at the EagleCreekPark.org website.
Right.
Or also calling out at Eagle Creek, and we'll give that number in just a bit. Are you also looking for volunteers or for people to help
anybody
out?
Oh, sure. Anybody who's interested especially you experts in fishing out there, we could use some more teachers.
Oh, good to know. Okay.
So just get a hold of the park office and find out how to do that. You can also learn how to be a volunteer on our website as well.
Okay, very good. And let's touch on some of the other events going on this summer, even though I could talk about fishing all day. but you've got a lot of other great events, art exhibits, concerts, bird walks, a frog watch.
Oh, that is delightful. That is just awesome. There are some regularly occurring events and programs. The Nature Discovery class is every weekend through August. Sunday morning bird walk, which is free, is sponsored by folks who belong to the Audubon Society,
mm-hmm.
and that's also free. There's a Learn Your Birds program every Tuesday and Thursday, and for $10 you can get 8 lessons.
Okay.
And you meet out there at 8 in the morning. Fridays are Meet a Raptor at the Bird Center again, and Sunday morning bird programs also at the Bird Center. The Friday night frog watch is every Friday through August, and you come out and Frog Dawn,
okay.
who's a spectacular naturalist, is just an expert on frogs, and she will find these critters for you and tell you all about them. I know I've taken my granddaughters there, and they just loved it.
Are there a lot of different frog species out there?
Quite a few different ones, yes.
Okay.
Tree frogs, bullfrogs, mm-hmm. toads. And at night you can hear them croaking and singing, they're hopping all over the road, it's just really spectacular.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
And the little kids just love it. They just go nuts. And they get a little net, and they can go out and scoop them up. So it's a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Every full moon there's a canoe kayak paddle event at the marina. So you can go out there on full moons and rent a canoe enjoy that experience. The concert series starts in June, Jazz on the Point on Wednesdays, with Everett Green as the first group.
One
to
of my
be
favorites.
Mm-hmm. One of mine, too. And speaking of fishing, every first Friday of the month, family fishing days
mm-hmm.
are from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Earth Discovery Center.
Okay.
And we mentioned the Kids Fishing Derby. There are also some day camps. Strive to Survive, How to Survive in the Wilderness. Some day camps for little kids, Puddle Jumpers Day Camp. So those are things you can mm-hmm. go to Indy Park's website and sign up for. They also are going to allow folks to camp at the Earth Discovery Center once a month.
Really? No, that's something new, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Previously, there has been no camping in the park, but
mm-hmm.
the family camp out is on, I think the first one is July, but I'm not sure, July 24th.
Now, you mentioned Everett Green. He's just a great, great jazz vocalist, wonderful singer to hear. And he's only one of, actually, the different performances you have going on.
I think we're
going to
have
jazz.
8 different groups out there. So it's just been a
wonderful.
Tremendously popular
sure.
event. The foundation originated the series
mm-hmm.
a few years ago, and we ended up building a concert stage with a roof over it to accommodate the concerts out there. So bring your camp chair, bring your concert meal, your
mm-hmm.
picnic meal, and come on out and just relax next to the water. It's even on hot days like this,
mm-hmm.
it's much cooler because it's right next to the water, and it's just
that
really
sounds great.
A beautiful experience.
Tell me a bit about, you've got a couple art exhibits. I know there's the Celebration of Nature
right.
art exhibit and Images of Nature.
Images of Nature is a photography exhibit,
mm-hmm.
and it's in September, for a week in September 18th through the 26th, and it has professional and amateur photographers
mm-hmm.
can enter that contest. And then in December, we have the Celebration of Nature, which is a multimedia art show also. I think it's also amateurs and mm-hmm. professionals.
And one of my favorite is always, I think it's usually in maybe February or so, the wood carvers.
The wood carvers, so, yes. Yeah, we just missed that.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It is a great one.
And again, all of the information as far as what's going on at Eagle Creek Park can be found at eaglecreekpark.org. We're calling 327-7116.
Correct.
Michelle, anything else you want to mention as far as what else is going on at the park this summer?
Well, we've just completed a construction of a new trail in memory of Robert Edesus. His colleagues raised a bunch of money, and that trail has just been completed. We're hoping to get the fitness trail out there refurbished. There's some new equipment, and the foundation has sponsored refurbishing that.
Great.
The fitness trail is an absolutely beautiful place. You walk through just wide paths with trees arching over. You feel like you're in a green heaven there. It's just gorgeous. And then Indianapolis Rowing Center is out there at Eagle Creek Park, and they have rowing events. And you can find out what's going on there at their website at IRC. I think that's what it is,
okay.
Indianapolis Rowing Center. But they will be holding the Big Ten Rowing Championships.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So it's
that's very exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I've been out there watching them do that. And there are just all sorts of things that pop up during the summer. Encourage you to go out and rent a canoe and hang out there or come out and have a picnic. There are so many different places you can have a picnic. Ride your bike, all sorts of things. Bring your family. And the Earth Discovery Center, you can just wander in there, and, mm-hmm. and there are all kinds of great things to see and experience, as well as at the new Bird Center. The Bird Center has some interactive kiosks that help you learn your birds, and it's a couple of fun things to do there. And you can just sit and watch the birds over the reservoir, as well as the little observation area over the bird feeders.
Very good. Michelle, looking forward to getting out to Eagle Creek this summer, and wishing you the best of luck with the Kids Fishing Derby. Have a great day with that.
Thank you very much.
Travis DiNicola with Eagle Creek Park Foundation President Michelle Cloud. For more information about events at the park, visit eaglecreekpark.org, eaglecreekpark.org. The 9th Annual Eagle Creek Park Kids Fishing Derby takes place Saturday, June 5th, starting at 8 a.m. It's free for kids 4 to 14, but pre-registration is required, and you can do that by visiting eaglecreekpark.org. Again, pre-register at eaglecreekpark.org, or call 327-7116. Again, 327-7116. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4 when I get a preview of the Talbot Street Art Fair.
I'll get to sit down and chat with philanthropist Frank Basile.
And I'll chat with the actor who plays Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys. And, of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support from listeners like you and from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, opening in January 2011. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.